say listen. No, I mean it. Listen. Or he'll get really irritated. Back to Gruber.
And you'll miss something important because this is the advanced part of the class for the day. This is Capitalism 304. It's a 300-level class we're going into with our professor, Dr. Richard Ebling, a BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you, and belated happy Thanksgiving.
And thank you to you and to you as well. I was in South Carolina for a portion of my holiday time at a place called Pretty Place, a beautiful YMCA camp that overlooks the mountains. It's a gorgeous place there for a wedding. Just a little aside for you there, Professor.
It's a beautiful country.
It is. I want to talk a little bit about, and I say this is the 300-level class because we're going to talk about Ludwig von Mises. I don't know if I've got that spelled right. Ludwig von Mises, a guy who said that socialism and central planning inherently unworkable because of the abolition of the market-based pricing system for purposes of economic calculation, and said that a lot of it comes back to the mismanagement of central banks and other problems. You're the professor. Help me out a little bit. Why does socialism always fail, and why is this gentleman so important in your thinking?
Well, the simple answer is that we know that government control results in tyranny, abuse. It historically has led to dictatorships, mass murder. But Mises's, Ludwig von Mises's question was a more simple but profound one. Let's suppose that the socialists were kind of heart, only meant the best of intentions, were angels. Could they really have a socialist society? And he said no, because to be able to have a socialist society, they would have had to know how to produce goods and services that people really wanted in the qualities and varieties that were desired, so that there is prosperity rather than poverty, balance and economic coordination rather than chaos. And he said the socialists have abolished the very institutions without which an economic system can't work. And what were those institutions? Private property, private enterprise, and competition.
Let me ask you this. I want to jump in.
In a market, we buy and sell things.
Yeah.
And by buying and sell, we agree upon what things are worth.
Now, I'm sure you saw this headline.
What they're worth, we know how to then what it's worth producing, what the cost will be, and therefore we can rationally organize an economy.
Sure. When you say the abolition of private property rights, private property rights are a foundational principle of Western civilization. There's no question about that. And then recently I saw Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, saying, wouldn't it be better, or I'm paraphrasing a bit here, wouldn't it be better if we were in charge, the government in charge of all buildings in New York City? We would establish which buildings went where, what the rent would be, and so on and so forth. I'm thinking, this guy is really that big of a fool. It's
yes.
Embarrassing.
Yes, it is. I mean, this is the problem. This awakened interest in socialism and democratic socialism, it's like having amnesia about what the last 100 years showed us. It leads to tyranny. It leads to mass murder. And there is no way that these people can organize an economy, what to produce, how to produce, where to produce. You know, I was in the Soviet Union in its last years. I was doing consulting work there. And everything that the listeners may have heard in some case, there was poverty, there were long lines, there was corruption and chaos. It was absolutely true. You'd wait on lines forever for a loaf of bread. You'd go to other government-owned and managed retail stores where you're supposed to want to buy clothing, or you'd want to buy simple appliances for household living, and there'd be nothing in the shops.
Yeah, the shelves are empty.
Quality would be shoddy.
Yeah. I've often thought, and maybe you feel the same way, Professor, when I walk into a supermarket in America, I've always, and this has been true since I was young, I've always been amazed because I feel that a supermarket where you can buy groceries and tires and everything in between is the epitome of capitalism success. It really is. Here's fresh food, here's tires, here's auto parts, here's kids' toys and bicycles and fishing rods, and it's all in one place under one roof, and I think that is the epitome of success for capitalism because you talk about finding the goods and services that people want, and then you make them available to the masses. That is the epitome of successful capitalism. That's my definition anyway.
Yes, and if the The listener wants to have an idea of what living under socialism would be like. Think of the joy of the long lines at the Department of Motor Vehicles, combined with the inefficiency and corruption and insensitivity of the Veterans Department. That's what socialism is like.
So the DMV marries the VA.
Exactly.
Ouch. That's a little painful. You mentioned here that people have amnesia about the last 150 years, and Professor, I've got to be honest with you. I don't think it's amnesia. I don't think we've actually taken the time to teach our young people about what went on in the former Soviet Union, what still goes on in China, what has gone on in other communist, socialist, Marxist nations that have, for 100 years, failed 100% of the time. I don't think we teach the young people the truth about these things, and so they still have this, oh, this utopian idea of these systems of government, which have failed every time because we haven't taught them anything. That's our fault.
And the fact is we have a situation today in which particularly at colleges and universities, but also at the high school level, the teachers themselves are too frequently molded in this left-of-center thinking in which the framework that is given in history, in civics classes, in political science classes, are all about the idea that capitalism is corrupt. It results in exploitation. But if the government does this, if the government does that, and like amnesia, this entire chapter of 100 years of socialism in practice everywhere around the world, from Russia to China to Cuba to Nicaragua to North Korea, is just erased. And all you left is the little pretty picture. Oh, we're all only nice, and we live together and share.
Yeah.
We'll all be wonderful.
Except that human nature doesn't work that way.
That's the danger in our educational system.
Yeah, human nature doesn't work that way, Professor. We need people to, Adam Smith, at least the abbreviated version of The Wealth of Nations, should be mandatory. Watching Milton Friedman videos should be mandatory. Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson should be mandatory. Ludwig von Mises should be mandatory reading. These are not long reads, but they're foundational reads when it comes to understanding how the world works and how finances work and how governments work, and, of course, about how human nature works, because people work for their own best interest. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker aren't making those things so that you get the best cut of meat or the best candle or the best loaf of bread. They do it so they can make the most money to take care of themselves and their family. As a result, you win as well. I'll give you the last word.
If you want prosperity, you want to allow people to be creative and innovative and freely buy and sell and produce. If you want poverty and despair and tyranny, you turn things over to the hands of the government and allow corruption and temptation of brutality to take over the society.
Thank you for being here for Advanced Economics with Dr. Richard Ebling, a BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Well done, Professor.
Thank you. Wonderful to be back on again. Have a nice day.
Talk soon. By the way, when you make plenty of money, make sure you pay your taxes, because if you don't and you get behind, well, the trouble can really compound like a snowball rolling downhill or something else rolling downhill. If you have trouble, if you've been getting letters and you owe money and there's penalties and interest and you don't know what to do or who to turn to do this, go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Fresh Start Tax Solutions banner, the Fresh Start banner, and get started with my good friend Chris McClatcher, 25 years experience right here in Michigan. Doesn't matter where you are in Michigan, he's going to help you out. SteveGruber.com and the Fresh Start Tax Banner. Do it now.
There's satisfaction in building something new, something important, and something that will last for generations. Right now, there are job openings across Michigan for construction workers of all kinds. It could be you. Demand for construction workers has never been higher. You can help build roads, bridges, and infrastructure all across Michigan. And remember, construction workers are cool. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner to find out more about opportunities, education, and real possibilities for your future. Click on the Michigan Construction banner at stevegruber.com. Do it today. Some of the coolest homes are also some of the warmest. Homeowners who have an eye for detail and quality often have their eye on Oil Heat for its exceptional warmth and its friendly service. Oil Heat is clean, efficient, and safe. And BioHeat Oil, which blends biodegradable materials, provides a renewable fuel source that's good for your home and environment. Now that's cool. See more at useoilheatmichigan.com. Brought to you by the locally owned and operated members of the Michigan Petroleum Association and the National Oil Heat Research Alliance.
Hey, parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
But what about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.